here today is Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. We're sure thankful for all the moms that are here in person and that are listening online. We have a really nice crowd online as well. I'm going to have you open your Bibles this morning. We're especially going to, this is our Mother's Day message. I'm going to have you open your Bibles to Proverbs 22, and we'll start there. Proverbs chapter number 22. We'll start there. Proverbs chapter number 22. And then if you'll notice with me at verse 28, this is going to be kind of our key verse where we're going to start with this morning. We're going to be at a lot of different passages. But look with me at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 8. And it says this, it says, "Remove not the ancient landmark." 28. What did I say? Okay, 22, 28. "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time to look into your word this morning, and we, especially this morning as we're going to look at some ancient landmarks and to appreciate your view of why you set them there. You set them where they are. And why it is so important, therefore, for us as believers and really in a society, in a culture, a people, to recognize the significance of those landmarks, take our bearings from them, and don't move them. Because when we move them or remove them, then we wind up destroying the very thing that underpins a culture, a society, a people, a nation, a family, and indeed even life. So we'll thank you for the wisdom and the insight that a passage like this and the others that we'll look at this morning can bring to our hearts and our minds, and the stability that it will provide in our hearts. In Christ's name we give you praise and honor. Amen. This week was a significant week on a number of different fronts just in the history of the United States of America. And if you are and have been following much about what's been going on the last few years, and even if not, you likely heard about the a leak that happened in relationship to the United States Supreme Court ruling regarding Roe v. Wade. For those of you that maybe don't know what Roe v. Wade is, it was a law passed by, it was an opinion, it was a decision passed back in the 70s about the right to, a woman's right to abortion. And so there was a case that has gone to the Supreme Court, and they had hearings on it several months ago. And what happens is that the members of the Supreme Court, they listen to, you know, arguments from both sides, etc. And then behind closed doors, they make their rulings, and then they go on to the next case. They have just the cases all the time, okay? And then during certain times of the year, then they release various rulings. Well, what happened is that someone, for in their various reasons, someone released completely illegally and a lot of other things along those lines, but someone released the decision ahead of time. It's not official yet, but what was released was that the Supreme Court, in a fight, apparently, again, this is not official yet, but it, for all practical purposes, is that in a decision 5-4, the Supreme Court justices have come to the conclusion that a woman's right to an abortion is nowhere in the Constitution. And apparently, even, I think it was Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she's no longer alive, but apparently a number of years ago, and she was way to the opposite side, okay? But apparently a number of years ago, she actually published herself and said, yeah, this is not in the Constitution and it will be overturned at some point. So in this draft of the Supreme Court decision that was released, the indication is that they have agreed that a woman's right to abortion is nowhere in the Constitution, not in the 14th Amendment, anything like that at all. And apparently it's a 92-page article. I've listened to a couple of, probably three or four different people have gone through it and everything. Very, very interesting read. I have not personally read it yet. But the gist of it was that it's not the role of the federal government to decide the issue. And it's not in the Constitution. It's up to the people. And therefore, it's supposed to go back to the states to decide. And the way that the people and the states to decide is in reference to their elected officials. Now, I'm not going to get into all that, and this is not about a political statement, that kind of a thing this morning at all. What I want to say is this, that this, when this thing got released, it sent a greater than a 10 megaton earthquake throughout and across the entire political screen, scene in the United States of America. And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you may be on, the point is, this shook some people up big time. Some people truly, and I'm talking about in this case elected officials, lost their mind. It was disgusting. That I will say. I don't care what side of the aisle maybe someone is on politically, you don't need to lose your mind out of this thing. Some people on the other side, many people just cried tears of joy. And I will confess to you, I don't remember what day it was. We read it in the evening. In fact, when I saw it in the news, it was after supper, and I had the laptop up, and I said, "Lord, look at this. Am I reading this right?" I couldn't believe my eyes. And so that was that night. That next morning when I got up, I was down in the kitchen and everything, and I thought about it. And I'll tell you publicly, I cried. I just cried. I know they've been saying for a number of years that this is getting closer and closer and closer to where it might actually be overturned in our lifetime. And you know what? This might happen. This decision, if it goes through like the late king, this might be out within a few weeks to a couple of months. I think it was supposed to be out by mid-July anyway. So we're talking, you know, month, 6 weeks, whatever, maybe less. And you're already seeing all kinds of backlash happening. Okay? But this absolutely could be one of the most significant and impactful decisions ever to come out of the Supreme Court of the United States of America in their entire history. It could be. Now, they're not saying, understand this, they're not saying, quote unquote, abortion is wrong. That's not what their decision is. They're saying that's not our choice. That's not us to decide. They're saying it's to the people to decide. That's why it goes back to the states, is what they're saying. Now, again, my message this morning is not about how federal and state government, that's my point. Today's Mother's Day. And the point of my message this morning is to ask the question, what does something like this have to do with mothers and women? Let me ask it a different way. Why did this leak and supposed decision, depending on how it actually comes out, why did it have such, and still is having such a dramatic, emotional, over-the-top impact in people across the spectrum? Why? Well, can I ask the young family to do something? Would you mind holding the baby up again? Listen, that's why, right there. That's why. This is about human life and therefore human dignity. And therefore, this is about God. This is about God's Word. And you got to understand that ever since Genesis chapter number 3, the yea hath God said accusation, that all of history has been about The goal, the intention, the purpose to absolutely undermine God's Word and get rid of God. That's what this is about. And I know there are going to be some folks this morning, because there are always some people that are not going to be happy at all with what we're going to go over this morning. You know what? Get over it. Your argument's not with me. Your argument is with the God who out of His own genius, His own heart and mind, came up with life. And how that life would be procreated in time. He designed the whole plan. And so when we talk about Happy Mother's Day, in order to be a mother, you know what else you have to be? You have to be a woman. A man cannot get pregnant. A man cannot deliver a baby.
And they don't want to.
I don't want to. Listen. That statement, those two statements right there, if anything, those two are likely to get us banned from YouTube, at least this message. You understand that?
Yeah.
But all of human history, 100% of human science, beyond any facts, in light of the facts, a man cannot get pregnant. And a man doesn't have a womb. You understand that a nation is in serious trouble when a potential and now leader of the highest court of the land, when asked the question about, can you define a woman? She says, no. I'm not a scientist, she says. And that's who you're going to have running the country. Or at least one of the members in the highest court of the land. Now listen, this ministry here, this church, this is about what the Bible says. This is about Scripture. The Word of God, right divided out of the King James Bible. So you know what? My opinion does not matter one whit. Please feel free to disagree with me on anything I say, because you're not accountable to me. But all men and women are accountable to God. So when we look at this issue of not only motherhood, it's Mother's Day. So we want to talk about motherhood. But in order to be a mother, you've got to be a woman. So we're going to look at womanhood. But in order to look at both of those issues, motherhood, womanhood, we've got to go back a little further. Even beyond Adam. We've got to go back to God who created the man from which He formed the woman. Because every attack on motherhood, on womanhood, on manhood, every attack ultimately is an attack against God and against God's Word. That verse that we started with, it says, remove not the ancient landmark. Now what is a landmark? Mr. Joseph over here, he's a surveyor. He understands the importance of, you know, direction and distance and height and elevation, all that kind of good stuff. What's a landmark? Think about the word, landmark. What are you doing? Someone said a reference point. You have a standard by which you can measure everything against, and therefore territory, direction, ownership, property, all that kind of stuff. Do landmarks matter? When the guy down the street comes and moves into your house, and you say, what are you doing? He said, what do you mean, what am I doing? I'm moving in. Wait a minute, I pay the rent or the mortgage. What are you moving in here for? So, well, the landmarks don't matter. The property rights don't matter. Listen, they do matter in human life, and they matter to God. And the landmarks, the land, the lay of the land, the survey, the layout of where you're going, where you live, the direction and so forth. You know, there's a marker from which you can set your compass. And as you go forward, you can always look back and say, yes, I'm on track. There are several landmarks that God Himself set. He put them down. And He set them down. And He said, don't remove them. Because if you move them, you're going to lose all sense of direction, all sense of bearing, all sense of right and wrong. You're going to be like a ship that not only lost its sail, but has no rudder. Just tossed with the sea, as it were. So we're going to look this morning at some of these landmarks, especially in relationship to our wonderful moms that are here today, and the moms that are online as well. Turn with me, if you would, first then, to Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter number 19. And you'll see in a moment when I read this why we're starting here. This particular passage here, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself was confronted by some of the religious leaders in His day. And they had begun, long before this, to remove some of the landmarks. They asked the Lord Jesus Christ about resurrection. Now, we're not going to get all into resurrection this morning. That's for Easter. We did that a couple weeks ago. Yes, right? But I want you to notice, when they asked the Lord Jesus Christ about divorce and so forth. In fact, look at verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto Him, tempting Him, saying to Him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? So, by the way, the reason they're bringing this up is because they're trying to challenge Him with regard to resurrection. Now, I want you to notice His answer. Again, we're not talking about resurrection. But I want you to notice where He takes their attention to. And He answered and said unto them, have ye not read that He which made them, landmark number one, God created. Think of all the doctrines that statement right there, in the beginning God created, and by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, He which made them. Think of all the philosophical viewpoints that those statements absolutely destroy. Now, it doesn't matter how old or young you are today listening to my voice. It doesn't matter your background, your race, your gender, your wealth, where you're standing. I appeal to you right now that if you've never in your heart, just between you and God, made a choice as to what you're going to do with that statement, in the beginning God created, and as Christ said here, that He which made them, God made man and woman. That's where men and women came from. God, their Creator. If you have never personally just struggled with that issue, wrestled with that issue, I appeal to you right now. I am seeking to persuade you to, in your mind and in your heart, come on God's side. Make a choice to believe the claim, not only of the Bible, but the claim of the Lord Jesus Christ, the central person of the Bible, that He makes right there. There's landmark number one. Landmark number one is, in the beginning, God created. And as soon as you move that landmark, what have you gotten rid of? Someone say, how about everything? Mm-hmm. Purpose, meaning, life itself. But He goes on to say this. He says, have you not read that He which made them, next three words. At the beginning. Landmark number two. In the beginning. So there was a beginning. And the God of creation existed before in the beginning. When the Bible says, in the beginning God created, therefore God is outside of and apart and different than, separate from the creation. God is not the creation. The creation is not God. God created. And that verse says, in the beginning, He which made them at the beginning. What is the significance of Christ in answering the question, taking their attention all the way back to in the beginning? Why do that? Why do that? What's that? That's the foundation. It all stands or falls based upon what you're going to deal with that. How a person deals with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, how you start the story, what you believe at the beginning of the story about what it claims about itself, that will absolutely determine the course and the direction of your life. When he says, he which made them at the beginning, it's like he's saying this, hey guys, let's go back a few weeks. Well, a little bit further than that. Let's go back and check out and see what the answer from the Creator says about your question. Because when the Pharisees came up with their question, they had designed all these questions, all these philosophical viewpoints from the traditions of the elders. Christ said, you know, we've got to go back further than that. We've got to go back to in the beginning God created. We've got to go back to in the beginning He that created. We've got to go back to the right starting point. Guys, I got a question. Have you and your wife been driving somewhere and everything? And you're obviously lost. She knows it. You know it. You can't admit it. So what do you got to do? You kind of need to go back and figure where you took the wrong turn. Or else you can just keep driving and just demonstrate. Well, whatever. Notice what else he says. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them... Now, next. What's he say there?
Male and female.
Male and female. That's a landmark. Not a landmine. It's turned into a landmine, by the way. But it's a landmark. If you've never really dealt with these things, I am appealing to you now to decide in the privacy of your own heart. Decide now. Why put it off a day? Jesus Christ, He believed that when God made humanity, He started with one man and one woman. Jesus Christ believed that there were two genders, male and female. That's what he believes. So that's what I believe. And that's right, Joe, even one, just one race from Adam, right? Just was one race. So you have to decide. And you know, it's up to you to decide whether you're going to believe him. God will not force you. One of the most significant landmarks, we're not going to talk in detail about it this morning, but one of the most significant landmarks in the Bible is the landmark of volition, free will. God will not force His hand upon you or His will upon you. He pleads with you. I heard someone say years ago that God is the hound of heaven. He will hound you with His love to win you. That was my mom who told me that years ago. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. My mother. She passed away a few years ago. I think most of you all know that. But God will not force your hand. He'll let you decide. He'll let you live however you want to live. Your parents might not, by the way. But God will. And thank God for your parents that are concerned about the choices that you make. If they didn't love you with the passionate, powerful love that they have for you, and they have it for you because they are your mom and your dad, if you didn't have someone that loved you like that, that wanted to see your life go in a good direction, you can truly thank God for them, even if you don't agree with them. Thank God they are there for you. They're like, in your life, they are those landmarks. You can trust them. And Jesus Christ says there, He which made them. Landmark number one. At the beginning, landmark number two. He made them male and female. Landmark number three. Now we're going to go back. Now, there's so much more going on here, but just because of time, which is always the case, we're not going to get into all the details here. We're going to go back to some things in the beginning. So we're going to go to Genesis 2. Go to Genesis chapter number 2. Go to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 1 on day 6 is when God created. In fact, let's look at that real quick. This is day 6. Genesis 1. Let me just set this here and then we'll go quickly to chapter 2. Genesis chapter number 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let..." What's the next word?
Yeah.
Interesting. Them. It says, "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God made man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. There's our phrase. What does it say there? Male and female created He them. You look into verse number 28. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish," and so on. Now, I've got to understand this. Understand this real quickly. How many of y'all have read this before? How many of y'all have heard this before? Now, obviously, this is the majority of everybody, if not everybody. Do you realize that we live in a time, in a culture, in the United States, and in the vast majority of the world, people really have not heard this? They've not read this. They're not aware of these landmarks. Because what they've been taught has undermined, moved all these landmarks. So that's why all the discussion about the whole confusion about, for example, the gender thing, the whole confusion about marriage thing, the whole confusion about God, the God thing. Because they haven't... So for you and I, it's like, wow, this is kind of normal to it. We've heard this. But not everyone has. And more and more and more people of that next generation and so forth, they've completely departed. They're not hearing this. They're not going to churches. And sad to say, many churches they go to aren't even preaching the Bible. They're certainly not learning this stuff in college and universities. They're not learning these kinds of truths in high school, junior high, or even elementary. You know what they're learning? Dare I say it? Listen, this is church. This is supposed to be not just PG rated, but P rated, right? So I probably can't say it. But you know what they're being taught in school. I'm talking to the little guys. I'm talking to teaching the little guys. There's a landmark right there. God says, when it came to the creation of humanity, this is what we, the Godhead, because it says, "Let us..." This is what we had in mind. This is the whole thing about womanhood, motherhood, manhood. This is out of the genius of God's mind. He didn't get all a big council of the angels together and say, wake up one morning and say, "Hey, I'm bored. What should we do today?" "Oh, I know. Let's create this." The creation of man and woman after the image of God, that came out of God's genius, His creativity. Quickly, chapter number 2 now. Chapter number 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, what are the next four words? 2:18, what does it say? The Lord God said, what?
It is
not good. Everything that God did prior to this point, when He comments about what He did, He said, "It is good. It was good. It was good." God saw it. It was good. That's the first time in the Bible when out of the mouth of God, God identified something and said, "It is not good." That's interesting. That's significant. What was not good? He said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." Remember, at this point, sin had not entered into Adam. He was a created man with free will. Why was it not good for him to be alone? You ever thought about that? Why, in God's estimation, when God looks at what He did, God created man, and He looks and says, you know, it's not good that the man's alone. Why? You ever wondered about that? Go ahead. Why?
Incomplete.
What else? Connect something with that.
No fellowship.
What's that? No fellowship. Good. What else? What else? He can't replenish the earth by himself. Good. What else? If the man's alone,
he needs help.
What's that?
He needs help.
Yeah, he needs help. So think of the opposite. If the man's alone, what's he going to think about himself? I'm enough. I can do it by myself. Self-sufficiency. When God says, you know what? It's not good that the man's alone. The man needs to recognize something about himself. That he is not his own resource. I created the man. The man needs to be dependent upon his Creator. You see that? So how is God going to help the man see that? I mean, the guy... how many of y'all had kids? Have kids, whatever? Y'all have it now. You'll experience the day when you're trying to do something for your kid and your child... Logan, kid. A grace preacher years ago, he's with the Lord now. He used to have such a hard time with us calling them kids because he said, kids are baby goats. These are children, you know? Well, I got a truth to that anyway. You know, you're trying to help your child do something and everything. And they, no, I'll do it. Isn't that what we kind of do? Lord, I can do it. You know? Lord, I can feed myself. It's going in their nose and their ear and down their shirt, you know? It's not good that the man should be alone. Now watch how the Lord does this. To bring Adam to a recognition of his need of what God provides. That's how he does this. He says, I will make him a help meet for him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought him unto Adam to see what he would call them. Think about that. Man was the last of the created creatures from God. When you look at day 6, God created the cattle and the land animals before he created the man. The sequence. So, here, Adam stands up. Hey, this is pretty cool. Wow, this is awesome. And this person comes walking next to him in shining glory. By the way, Adam also was clothed in bright light and so forth. Okay, so this other being walks up and says, hey, Adam, I'm God. I made you. Okay. How do I know? How would Adam know? That's how that verse right there. God says, Adam, watch. And from the ground, he forms the cattle and the fowl there. Right before Adam's very eyeballs. And Adam goes, that was pretty impressive. I think I'm convinced. He saw the dust of the ground brought to life. And he brings these animals, as it were, these creatures to Adam. And it says here, watch this. It says here, to see what he would call them. Whose choice was it to name the animals? Adam's. Now watch what it says. It says this, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, guess what? What's it say? That was the name thereof. Here God forms out of the ground this lion. King of the beast, as it were. This lion comes parading by, and a bunch of lions, lionesses, I guess you'd say, right? And Adam studies that and says, wow, that's a lion. Now I understand lion is an English word. I spoke Hebrew, I understand it. But the point is, he says, that's a lion. And God said, you know what? That's exactly what I would have called that thing. And he brings a giraffe by. He brings an elephant by. And whatever Adam named them, God said, son, you are thinking exactly like your Creator. The words coming out of your mouth, the thoughts that are coming out of your mind and your heart and everything, they are exactly in the image and the likeness of God, your Creator. You're thinking like I created you to think. And yet, Adam, you're using your own free will to do it. I'm not forcing you to call it that. Isn't that amazing? But for Adam, there was not found a meat for him. But help me, yes. Thank you. This is a good thing she's sitting right there, right? I got to make as soon as I get off her notes. No, anyway, you know, she truly is my helpmeet. But there was not found one for him. So now Adam is at the point where he's prepared to meet his helpmeet. Watch what God does. It says that verse 21, and the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. The first surgery in the Bible, he took a rib. You've heard it said before, and it's so true, when he creates the woman here, he doesn't take the woman from Adam's foot or his head. He takes it from his rib by the heart. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, watch this, made he a woman. That's the first time the word woman appears in your Bible. And that's Moses commenting about the event. The first person in the Bible ever to use the word, we're going to see it here momentarily, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. Just like God made the various creatures and brought them unto Adam to see what he would name them, God made the woman from Adam and brings her to Adam to say, okay, Adam, let's see what you call this thing. Adam, let's see if you're thinking like I'm thinking. Let's see if you see in what I just created, if you see my design, my purpose, my intention for what I just did. And Adam said, when he sees her, he says, woman, where have you been all my life? No, he didn't say that, right? Y'all have heard that before, yes, right? Obviously, it was really a bad joke. So instead he said, woman, you're the only woman in the world for me. Yeah, that was also terrible. He didn't say that. He said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called. And what does he call her?
Woman.
Woman. Look at that word. Woman. A man with a womb. Or, whoa, man, we're in trouble now. No. But he calls her woman. And you can see in the rest of the statement what the word means. What that name means. It says, because she was taken out of man. Where did the woman come from? The first woman came out of a man. Isn't that amazing? When he looks at this situation, when he looks at this creature that God made and everything, he was truly stunned, as it was in many, many ways, no doubt. But he called her woman. But just like when he named the animals, that was the name thereof, that's exactly what God would have called them. When he calls her woman, guess who else agreed with that statement? God did. God said, she is the one taken out of man for the purpose of Adam recognizing his desperate need of a companion. Someone like him, but different than him. And someone provided for him and they for each other direct from the hand of God. Not from the state, not from the government, not from the county, but from the heart of the Creator of heaven and earth. He calls her woman because she was taken out of man. Now, what I want you to do is hold this passage here. We're coming right back. We're going to read a couple of passages in 1 Corinthians 11, and then we're going to go right back to Genesis 3. And I apologize. That clock has just gotten away from us this morning, and I'm going to impose upon you for a couple extra minutes, like 30, 40, 50, whatever. No, just a few extra minutes. Okay. But go with me to 1 Corinthians 11. Just bring these verses with you. When she is called woman, and it says, because she was taken out of man. Because some people therefore think and say that the Bible is demeaning to women. They say the Bible is derogatory to women. They say that how can you be, say, someone who really cares for women's rights and still believe the Bible? Are you kidding? The Bible tells us where woman came from anyway, and the very purpose. God exalted women. A woman is different than a man. But the same. They need each other. Look at these passages here. So at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 8, it says this, "For the man is not of the woman." Okay, is that kind of clear?
Sure.
"But the woman of the man." So now we know why, right? Genesis 2, yes?
Mm-hmm.
"Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." Now, if you take that verse out of context and you ignore Genesis chapter number 2, you'll take that and see Paul was a chauvinist pig. He agreed with battering women. Genesis 2 says the purpose of creating woman was to help the man see he couldn't function by himself. He needed a help meet for him. Genesis 2, the Bible exalts women. It doesn't debase them at all. And that verse right there, it says, "Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man to be his helpmeet," because he couldn't do it by himself, as it were. "For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord." Guess what, guys? You didn't get here without your mom. Mom, you didn't have your child without your husband. And neither one of you got here without your mom. And neither one of you got here without your mom and your dad. You see how the cycle just goes. The ancient landmarks. Listen, friends, this is not brain surgery. This is truth. These are the ancient landmarks. This is how it happens. You know, almost 7,000, not quite 7,000 years of human history, 6,000 years of human history. This is the pattern. This is how it works. But now look at verse 12. "For as the woman is of the man..." Now you understand why he makes that statement, yes?
Mm-hmm.
"As the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman." You see how simple this is? Now look at that next statement. "But all things are of God." When people attack womanhood, when people attack motherhood, by promoting such things as, yes, dare I say it, yes, the murder of an innocent baby inside what should be the most protected place, most safest place for that new life, in a mama's womb. When people say, "Oh, you're taking away a woman's right to decide. You're taking away a person's right to decide the destiny of their life." No, I'm not taking anything away from them. God says, there's some ancient landmarks. And we start moving those landmarks, all bearing, all standard of right and wrong. You just shake it up and take it out of the way. When that verse says, "But all things are of God," therefore you understand, when people attack motherhood, and when they say things like a man can get pregnant, when they say you're chauvinist when you use male, female, that's an attack on motherhood. That's an attack on womanhood. That is ultimately an attack upon God. Because the verse that we just read said that all things are of God. God's the one who designed all this. Quickly, if you would, back to Genesis 3. Genesis chapter number 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, they plunged the whole human race into the consequences of their wrong choice, sin and death. And hence, Ever since then, there's something that, despite the race, gender, economic standard, wealth, age, there's something that is a common denominator to all. Doesn't matter what political party you're in. Doesn't matter what signs you hold, what marches you march. And there are a lot of worthy causes out there, by the way. But you know what? There's something that keeps getting everybody. It keeps taking them down and taking them down and taking them down. And despite the self-righteous pride of those in powerful positions, death keeps getting them. That's the one of the greatest human evidences of the reality of the Bible. Death keeps getting them. And given enough time, guess what? You know, death's going to get you. Given enough time, yes, you are going to die. Yes, you're going to die. What a great message for Mother's Day. Is that what you came to hear? But God says here, in the back, against the backdrop of the fall to Adam and Eve, listen what He says. He says at verse 14, 3:14, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Now watch verse 15 very carefully. "And I'll put enmity between thee and
the woman."
What's enmity? What's enmity? That's like a battle, like hatred, like a conflict. He says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise thy heel."
His heel.
His heel. Thank you, Joe. That's the first good news after the fall in the Bible. God says to the serpent in the hearing of Adam and Eve, He says, "Listen, there's going to be this battle, this enmity between your seed and the seed of the woman, that creature that came out of man. There's a seed line that's going to come from that woman, and there's going to be this battle between the two of you. Your seed's going to bruise his heel, and the seed of the woman is going to crush, bruise your head." God is making a declaration right there that human history is going to be a story about the enmity, this battle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And the Bible, right there at the beginning of human history, is making the claim that I'm going to win. And I'm going to win because of the seed of the woman. Now, Adam hears this. And when Adam hears this and processes what God just said to the serpent, you know what he did? He gave the woman a new name. Look in Genesis chapter number 3 there. Watch what it says at verse 20. Verse 20 says this, "And Adam called his wives." They're joined. God married them by this point. It says, "And Adam called his wife's name" what? He gave her a new name. That name, Eve. Look at what it says. "Because she was the" what?
"Mother of all."
Listen, Eve is the mother of us all. Happy Mother's Day. Adam changed her name. Adam listened to what God said. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God said something, came out of the mouth of God, said the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, they're going to have this long-standing enmity between each other and so forth. And the seed of the serpent is going to bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. And the seed of the woman is going to bruise the head. He's going to win the battle, as it were. When Adam hears that, he looks at the woman and he calls her Eve. "You are the mother. You are the source. From you is going to come forth our Redeemer. From you is going to come forth a man child who is going to win the battle for us and provide salvation, provide redemption for not only Eve, you and me, Adam, but for our race. And you study the Bible, and the seed of the woman becomes the seed of Noah, and then the seed of Shem, and then down to Abraham, and to Isaac, and Jacob, and down to Judah, and then down to David. And all the way down, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You know what his name was? His name is Jesus. He shall be called God with us. Now, one last couple of verses. Turn with me, if you would, over to... Where do I want to go? I want to go to 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The seed of the woman. You trace, the Bible traces that seed line down to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, Jehovah Savior. Emmanuel, God with us. But how was it that that man, the seed of the woman, was going to be able to provide for the redemption, the salvation, to provide, to give life to those who now are doomed in death? Here's how he's going to do it. Here's how he did it. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Verse 3, it says this: "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our..." what?
Savior.
Listen, who's your Savior?
Lord Jesus Christ.
Can I say it this way? It's not your priest. It's not your pope. It's not your pastor. It's not your tradition. It's not your religion. It's not your money. It's not your deeds. It's not your promises, your commitments, your dedications. God is your Savior. And if you won't let God save you, you're not getting saved. And God, who is your Savior, lets you make that choice. God wants to save you. He says this, verse 4, "Who will have all men to be saved?" God wants you to be saved. God desperately, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all gave of themselves. It says this, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator." What's a mediator? Like a go-between. One mediator between God and men. And who is it? The man Christ Jesus. The man, there's his humanity. Christ, there's his, he's the anointed one. Jesus, he's Jehovah's Savior. He's God in human flesh. He's the one mediator. As man, he can take your hand, the hand of man. But as Jehovah God, he can take and touch the hand of God. And he can bring you together. But there was a cost. Verse 6. Who gave... What's the next word there? Listen, friends. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send money. He didn't change the creation. Because none of that would have saved. None of that would have made the provision. That verse says he gave himself a ransom for all. See that word all? Do you know anyone that is in that word all? Do you know anyone that's in that word all? Who might be in that word all? Tell me a name of someone that you know that might be in that all.
Joe.
Tell me a name.
Joe.
That verse says he gave himself a ransom for all. That means he gave himself for you. For you. Yes, for you. To be testified in due time. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you? Boy, if we I asked you earlier, just raise little Logan up, and didn't that kind of melt your heart, just the little baby there? How precious, how wonderful that is. The Lord Jesus Christ came as a baby, born into human life, born of a virgin, and He was born to die. But He died that He might be raised again from the dead. This is the most important landmark. God set Him at Calvary there. And He said, don't move that ancient landmark. History, past history, had been pointing to that in so many different prophetic yet veiled ways. When He says, remove not the ancient landmarks. Landmarks are where you get your bearings from. You take direction from, measurement from. Give stability, direction to your life. On Mother's Day, let's honor our mothers. Because they are mothers. Not birthing bodies. They're mothers. Even he agreed. And they're women. And it goes all the way back to God. Remove not the ancient landmarks. They are there for a critical, important reason. I'll ask the musicians if they'd come forward now. We'll close in a word of prayer. A simple request, and that is, you know what? If you're here today, we don't have an altar, so we can't do an altar call. We don't have a baptismal, so you can't get wet. Water baptism, that's all it does for you. It just gets you wet. There's only one baptism that matters, and it's not a water baptism. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for your personal Savior, can I just appeal to you now? Just in the privacy of your own heart, just think about that. What are you putting it off for? Really and truly, just talk to the Lord. Tell Him why you're rejecting Him. Just tell Him that. Have that discussion with Him. And let Him talk with you about it. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You for the time to look into Your Word today. We thank You for this day to truly honor our mothers. And by doing so, we honor You. To honor womanhood, the wonderful, absolutely critical aspect of human life that a woman plays, that a man cannot play. But God, we thank You that You designed both, male and female, all the way back to the beginning. You take us back to You, the source, the creator, the designer, the genius behind all of this. We thank You for this marvelous truth in Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.